You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is up, everyone? Jose Youngs here, the MMAfighting.com, here for another, what is it, Friday edition of the A-Side. God, these days just blend together since this quarantine. Yeah, it is Friday, isn't it? So another Friday edition.
are there days of the week anymore? Let's be honest. Is it no. Just, yeah.
As Sean Al-Shadi once said, time is a flat circle. Still don't know what that means. But anyway, joining me, above me, is Pete Carroll, usual suspect to the... My, I don't know what angle he's at, is Casey Lydon, director. And joining us this week is UFC bantamweight contender Corey Sandhagen. Before we get into the fan questions, Corey, how have you been handling quarantine life? I know we talked a little bit about it before we went on, but how's life amid this pandemic?
Yeah, not too good. I've been watching a lot of reruns of The Survivor. You guys watch that show?
The Survivor? What is that?
Yeah, like this, it's called Survivor. It's on CBS. It's like a really, not really old show, but it's been around, I think, since like 2000s. But dude, I've been like cranking those seasons out. Like,
oh, the reality show?
Yeah, the reality show. Yeah. Dude, it's a good show.
Would you want
to be ready? Are you ready to go into the wilderness?
Huh?
Would you be ready to go into the wilderness from what you've learned from this Survivor show? Would you recommend it in case there is an apocalyptic situation here where we have to start like lighting fires and stuff?
It's not like that. Oh. Sorry.
Oh.
Did you guys hear my ringtone?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Sure did. What do we got? What's the ringtone?
Still Tipping by Mike Jones.
Mike Jones. Yeah. Hey, Houston Zones.
Yeah, I just changed that because the other day I was so bored. We were just me and my girlfriend and my roommate. We were just watching a bunch of old like 2000s rap videos and shit. And that song came on, and I was like, "Damn, I love that song." So
yeah, still tipping on fofos. Yeah, I got you, man.
Well, Derek Lewis would be proud, I'm sure, of repping a Houston-based ringtone from a Colorado fighter. But anyway, Petey, what's been going on with you besides apparently you have a bad haircut this morning since we last saw you?
Can we see it? Can we see it, Petey? You talk a big game. Do
you want to have a bit of a – here we go. Let's just get it all wild here. Yeah. I'm trying to make it some type of shape for you, but I can't. It's just –
Yeah, that's pretty bad, man.
This is it. This is pretty good, actually. Man. I'm actually quite impressed, though. If I knew it was gonna be this good, I wouldn't have worn a hat. But besides the haircut, I'm starting to crack up a little bit. I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I know a lot of us are already here, but yeah, it becomes irritating to stay inside all day after a while. I guess no matter how many PlayStation games you buy, how many books you read, or how many Netflix subscriptions you can absolutely like just rinse through, it's just that it's starting to get to me a little bit. So I'm very happy to be here talking with everybody again.
Well, it's been tough for me, considering I know Corey, you live in this part of the world up in Colorado. I don't know how the weather is up there, but right now in Arizona, it's that perfect time where it's not 1,000 degrees outside, but it's not in the 60s. It's about in that mid to high 70s. And I can see out my window and I want to go outside and participate in activities. Can't do that these days. I don't know how the weather is up there in Colorado right now, though.
Dude, we just had a snowstorm.
The opposite.
Bro, it's worse. It's worse to have it snow because now you're just like, well, I don't even have the option of going on a walk outside. It's just locked inside, man.
Jesus. So I know you don't have a fight coming up, but have you been able to stay active at all during this pandemic?
Yeah, dude. So I've taught my girlfriend how to hold the little Taekwondo paddle. Taekwondo paddle thing. Did you guys ever do Taekwondo?
Yeah, the big pad, the round pad, kind of the hand on the – it's got a pad on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I taught her how to hold that for me. So I've been doing a shitload of just kicks and spin kicks and punching that because she can't hold mitts because I hit like a cannon and her little puny arms she can't handle it. So I've been doing a ton of that, and then I just have been having her like kind of move around, and then I'll just like fit in on her legs for like takedowns. And I've been trying to do that for like an hour a day, and then in the morning I'll try to do some kind of like weightlifting or running or biking or something. But yeah, dude, it's mostly just training with my girlfriend who doesn't know anything about fighting.
That's the best. The best kind of bonding for a relationship I find is to get into random jiu-jitsu matches when she's not expecting it. But of course, this is not our show. This is the fan show. You guys can ask any question you want, MMA or non-MMA related. I know we get in a lot of random tangents lately. Michael Case talked at length on hunting Bigfoot and fighting bears and mountain lions and all that stuff. I don't know if Corey has any experience. Corey, before we get into questions, do you believe in Bigfoot? Fans gotta know.
I believe that there might be like some like weird type of like bear hybrid wolf. Ooh. That could possibly be out there that we haven't really discovered because it's so good at hiding. Maybe, you know, like mm-hmm. I know that mountain lions only really get caught on like those little trap cameras that get put off by a sensor. So I suppose that there could be something intelligent enough out there to like maybe get away from those things.
You think that's the answer we want to hear?
Or do you think it's a pack of them that roam, or one single one?
No, it's probably a mom, a dad, and then just maybe one child, one infant.
Big solid theory. Bigfoot,
yeah. A little
foot. Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch. One tiny Sasquatch.
What was the name of the animal we discovered the other day with Mike Yates? What was his name?
Skunk ape, Corey.
Skunk ape is terrifying, Corey. Why don't you get into that? That's a rabbit hole that I only began to go down. It's skunk
ape. It's like a real one, or it's not.
Oh, real? It's real.
This one is real. It lives in the
Florida.
It lives in Florida in the Everglades, and they actually have a photo of it. It was in someone's bushes, and they took a photo, and it is absolutely terrifying looking because it's like it has the red eyes from the camera, and it's like scowling and like hiding away in the bushes. So definitely look up skunk ape because it's gonna bring you down a rabbit. Shit! Oh, it's up on the camera right on the video screen right now.
See, that's bro, more terrifying than my haircut.
That's how these diseases start, though, man. Is people go on for stuff like this, and then they get attacked by something, and then they bring back all the shit that it had.
Yeah. Skunk ape virus coming soon.
Just stay in the city, dude. Just stay in the city.
And this is this skunk ape is in Florida, exactly where they want to hold MMA fights. Right. So I don't want
terrifying.
To say something, but of course. But anyway, bring on the questions, anyone. Casey will tee them up. You can ask anything and everything. I know Corey. I know a lot of. Fans are going to have questions for Corey about fighting, but you can ask anything you want. So, Casey, director. All right.
First question up. Let's get the boring fight questions out of the way. Woo! Here we go.
From longtime commenter Trumbo, Jose Aldo versus Henry Cejudo. I'm going to say Henry Cejudo versus Jose Aldo because champ gets top billing. For Corey, who do you favor in this matchup whenever it happens? Which of the two would you rather fight and why? So, yes, UFC 250 is supposedly going to have Henry Cejudo put his bantamweight title on the line against former featherweight champion Jose Aldo. So this is in your weight class, Corey. Who do you like in this matchup and who would you rather fight between the two?
That's a tough one. I think Cejudo is probably going to win just because Cejudo is more in his prime than Aldo is, obviously. Who I would rather fight more? It'd be really tough to say no to a Jose Aldo fight, but also I think that like fighting Cejudo when he's kind of – how old is Cejudo? 31, 32?
I don't know exactly. Early 30s. I don't think he's that much younger than Jose Aldo, considering Jose Aldo started very young and he's been fighting for so long.
Yeah, I mean, but he's probably got a lot of wear and tear on
him. Oh, yeah.
In the years of fighting. But I think I'd probably rather fight Cejudo just because I think he's more in his prime. He beat DJ, and I think DJ is the man. It was still really a close fight. I think DJ probably won. But, Cejudo just because I think that he's better, you know.
Well, right. they are exactly the same age. They're both 33. Actually, Henry Cejudo is older if you go by months. He was born February 9th, in 87.
Aldo's older.
Aldo's 1 year older. This is just not updated.
Yeah.
Aldo's 1 year older, but only by a few months. He's not even a full calendar year older. So it's that close. I know Jose Aldo did an interview with us, and he said he's only concerned about making the weight because he could beat Henry Cejudo with his hand tied behind his back. So I don't know if that's just talk or just confidence from Jose Aldo's part. But I like that fight. But I do want to ask you, when they actually booked this fight, as someone in this weight class, what were your thoughts considering Jose Aldo is technically coming off of, not even technically, he's coming off two losses and he's 0-1 in your weight class?
Yeah, I mean, I know that I should care more than I do. Really? I don't really have an opinion about it. I think that I wasn't going to be next, so I could really care less who was going to get it, because I knew that I wasn't next. I knew that me kind of shooting for a shot was going to be a long shot. And so I didn't really care. I know that I'm still probably one or two fights away from there.
Excellent question. Excellent answer. Casey, what do you got?
Okay. Oh, Corey, actually, because I know the question, so because we don't have this later, but what did you think of Otto just going down to 35? Do you think that's just a good idea? Because, I mean, I feel like before everyone was like, hey, Otto, go up to 55. And all of a sudden he kind of goes, no, I'm going down. And we're like, that's crazy. But then he made weight and he fought an incredibly competitive fight. So what do you think of
beat Marlon.
Yeah, but
yeah,
but what do you think of just Otto's decision to go to 35?
Honestly, man, I think it's probably a pretty good idea, because I think Aldo probably knows that he doesn't have a ton of more fights left in him, and making 135 a couple times probably isn't going to be too terrible. Like, you can probably just toughen that out for the next 2 years. But if you're a guy like me, and you're thinking about going down a weight class, and you still have 6 or 7 more years in the sport, I don't want to do that for 6 or 7 more years. But if I had 2 more years and I had a shot to win a title, then I would for sure take advantage of that. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think Frankie's doing the same thing. I think that they're both smart about doing that. They know that they're not going to have to do it too many times, and they just have to suck it up. And there's a light that's closer to the end of the tunnel than someone who's younger like myself. So I think that it's a good move on their part.
Cool. Thank you very much.
What's our next question, Casey? From Eduardo Bueno. So, Corey, what exactly happened between you and Dominic Cruz? Did the UFC really offer you this fight? So, on one of our new shows, What the Heck with Mike Heck, Dominic Cruz spoke at length about this. He said he said that he turned it down. I'm trying to get this right, because there's a lot of, like, he said, she said, and even Dominic Cruz, like, there's a lot of miscommunication here. He said that you had said he turned the fight down, but he had never spoken to you. And he was told by Sean Shelby that if Sean Shelby went to him and say, what fight do you want? And he goes, I want the fight that'll get me closer to the title. Sean Shelby said, that's Peter Yan. He said, then I want to fight Peter Yan. And then he said, well, he's fighting Marlon. He goes, well, I want to fight whoever wins that fight, because I want to fight for the title next. And then he says, we want you to fight Corey Sandhagen. He goes, that's fine, but I want to fight for the title next. And if not, I want to be 100% if you want to make me fight a bunch of times before getting the title. So, as Dominic Cruz says, it's a lot of he said, she said, a lot of confusion on his part and in the fans' mind. So what exactly happened between you and Dom and this rumored Dominic Cruz fight?
Yeah, so me and Aljamain were talking of fighting after we knew that Marais and Yan got booked. So I was all for Aljamain. I was like, okay, cool. This is a good fight. Aljamain's ranked number 2. It makes sense. People are talking about him being a contender. So that makes sense. And then my manager or my agent told me that Cruz sent a message to Shelby saying that he wants to come back for that San Diego card. Whether that's true or not, that's what was relayed to me, is that Shelby said that Cruz wanted to come back and fight in San Diego, and that the fight that was most exciting would have been me and Cruz. Granted, I think I've been pretty outspoken about how much Cruz has been helpful and inspiring me a long, long time ago to get into martial arts. I've been really open about that. I was really excited to do that, just because I think it would be so cool to, because 10 years or so ago when I was watching the WEC, and I was just watching Cruz, and that was one of my favorite fighters. So I remember sitting on the couch and be like, damn, like, this is what fighting can look like. This is cool. This isn't what I see in, like, the basketball locker room when I'm in high school, you know, like, this is different. So I think that it would be cool for like the me that was 10 years ago watching Cruz on television stand across from him in the cage now, you know, like that would be maybe a dream come true, you know. So but that being said, I was really about it, right? So when he told me that, I was like, all right, let's hope that Cruz says yes. And then a couple of days went by, and I said, hey, is there any update on what's going on? And my agent told me no. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just make a post and just be like, hey, because I wanted an answer. So I just made a post. I said, hey, Cruz, I said, yes, it'd be an honor to fight you. waiting on you or whatever I said. And then that next day or that day, I think I got a text from my agent just saying that Cruz changed his mind about fighting in San Diego. And that's what was relayed to me. So whether or not that's true, I actually appreciate that Cruz didn't just like call me a dumbass for like maybe that like what Shelby said was true or whatever. So I actually appreciate how he answered that interview question, because he didn't just like roast me like he maybe had the opportunity to. Because anytime you get like an opportunity to like say a narrative about anything in this sport, guys like take it as far as they can. Look at someone like I think Tony and Khabib, like, I mean, Tony is feeding this narrative that Khabib ran away and this and that. And it's like, man, that's not true, bro. You know, like, Khabib's not scared to fight you. I know that, like, that's the narrative that you're feeding people. And, like, a couple people will bite that are your big fans. But it's a silly narrative. But I don't know why people do that. It seems silly to me. Like, why you want to throw your peer under the bus like that? But yeah, so I appreciate Cruz not calling me an asshole and for assuming that everything that I was being told was true.
It must be a really frustrating situation that you're in, Corey, because on the face of it, you're doing everything perfectly, right? Like, I mean, you're winning all these fights, you're fighting spectacularly. But you're kind of become the boogeyman now, where people are kind of like, oh, well, that's a big risk fighting that guy, right? Like, I mean, all these guys, like Frankie, the fight with Frankie, they didn't come together. Now this one with Dom. Fighting a guy like that would be huge for your profile. Like, you know, so many eyes would bring to the sport. Is it just frustrating now? It seems like a very tentative next step. You know, you're really want to go. We're in this pandemic, and you seem like you're just about to take flight, basically, in the division, and everything's just at a standstill, and you can't get these big guys to commit to a fight day with you.
Yeah, I've had a strain of bad luck, I guess. Yeah, man, so that fight in January that was supposed to be with Frankie was supposed to be my coming out party. It was supposed to be my Uriah Faber to Peter Jan's fight, you know? That's what it was supposed to be for me. The stars didn't line up that way, and, like, what am I going to do, just bitch about it and complain and, you know, like, I'm a really high risk fight and a really low reward. And really there's nothing to blame that on other than me, myself, not making myself a higher reward fight, which is, one, my own fault. And then, two, it's just the nature of the beast, you know, like I was supposed to fight Frankie, didn't happen. I was supposed to fight in May against Aljamain, that may or may not happen. So, it's just how the stars line up, man. I'm not tripping over it every day. I just try to get better. And I have a lot of faith that if I just keep doing that, then I'll be where I'm supposed to be when it's supposed to happen.
Do you ever feel that pressure to maybe ham it up, get the old drama going? Like, I always talk to Leon Edwards about this as well, whereas he knows, like, he probably would be rewarded for that behavior, right? But he doesn't want to jeopardize who he is. Like, at the end of this, he wants his son to be able to watch this and go, yeah, my dad did the right thing there. You know, like, things like that. Is that how you feel about it too? Like, there is a quick book to be made from talking a lot of noise, right?
I would love to be able to do that, but I can't, man. I can't. I would come off like such an asshole, bro. Like, it would look so terrible. I'm just not good at that, man. Like, I'm not good at that. I'm good at like being polite and genuine and honest, and that's what I'm good at. You know, like, I'll shoot it to people straight. If I think someone's being an asshole to me, I'll call them an asshole. But I have a lot of respect for the people that are around me. I have a lot of respect for, and what's the point of hating on people, man? Like all the hype, I've been struggling with this. If I'm being honest, I know that the UFC and all the fans are really on board with Peter Yan, you know, which, what am I going to do? Hate on him for like him having the stars line up really great for him, you know, like that's fine, man. Like, me and him will fight one day and then we'll see who's the better man, you know, but I'm not going to get too caught. That's a lot of energy, bro. That's a lot of energy every day. You know, that's a lot of energy. Jealous energy is a lot of energy to be given up, and it can go in a different direction.
Do you ever look at past fighter? And this from the outside looking in, it seems like you're in kind of in a similar position as like Kamaru Usman was a while ago, where you have this big string of wins and all of these veterans don't want to fight him because he's not relatively known by the masses yet, and he's a super dangerous fight coming into his prime. You don't want to risk your position in the rankings fighting such a dangerous opponent. And he is basically taking any fight And then he's offering to step in. He cuts weight for them, even though he's not going to fight, to possibly fill in for Darren Till versus Tyron Woodley. And then he offers to fight in the January card that eventually fell out, like a month after he fights. So he's basically offering the UFC all of these this help, maybe cutting weight when he doesn't have to, offering to save a card, fighting in Chile when maybe he knows not a lot of people looking. And all of a sudden, now they're granting him a title shot. Do you ever look at stuff like that where you're like, how can I help the UFC? Because then down the road, maybe they'll help me.
Absolutely, bro. I'm cutting right now, so I'm ready for that March, that May 9th fight in case Jose can't make it back into the States, man. Like,
wow.
I'm doing that, you know? Like, I'll be ready. If they call me on a week's notice, I'm going to be ready for that fight. It'll kind of suck not to have any training partners other than my girlfriend, but... when they call me, dude, I don't want to be in a position where I'm like, nah, I can't because I was lazy. You know, that's sure. not happening. That's going to happen for me. So, yeah, but as far as Kamaru Usman, man, you look at like a lot of the great guys that have done that. Like, look at like Max Holloway. Max Holloway has been a champ for a really long time, but he went through the same stuff. Khabib had a million fights before he got a title shot. So for me, it almost seems a little bit like entitled to even. Where'd Pete go, bro?
He just like has to go. I don't know what he's doing. Oh, his computer's dying. Oh, you're on camera, Petey. What's going on?
We called you out, Petey.
What the fuck, Pete? You didn't want to listen to my story, bro?
He wanted the charger because he didn't want his computer to die in the middle of your story. That's what he wanted.
You know, I'm going to go to a solo shot of Petey right now just to really put it on him.
Can't even hear us talking, which is even funnier.
We'll just wait.
Yeah, for forgot me charged there, lad. Sorry about that.
You're literally just talking about you for about 30 seconds.
I was so interested in that answer as well. I was snapping. I had to go. I was like, shit. Oh, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, but anyways, man, you see a lot that this has been the situation for a lot of the great guys, and that's why, man, I think that skill speaks louder than any words and any action or whatever, you know. Like, as long as I got the skills when I need the skills, and as long as the opportunities keep coming up and I put myself in a position to take advantage of all of those opportunities, I know that good will come for me. I fight and train with a lot of passion. I wake up every morning and I tell myself I'm getting better today. And I know that if I do that for the rest of my career, there'll be no doubt that at the end of it, I'll be one of those legendary fighters.
Well, we're going to end that question on that. We got any other questions? I don't have a follow up for that one.
We've done all the Floyd stuff now. Let's get on to Tiger King.
Yeah.
You guys think Carol did it, bro?
Absolutely, man. There's absolutely no doubt about it. How could you question it?
Are we going to Tiger King, or are we throwing away the questions? Or are you just going to...
How does Carol kill someone, though, dude? Like, she doesn't, like, knife them. Like, what does she do? She poisons them, or what?
Drug them first, man, and then just, you know. I don't want to ruin it. Jose still hasn't watched it yet, even though it was his homework for this week. But, yeah, absolutely. You drug them first, then, you know, you can do whatever you want. Just drag them in there.
But, like, how do you think she did it? You think that she, like, strangled them or what?
No, you know what she did. She has those animals, Corey. She just drugged them and then just dragged them in there and was, like, ringing the dinner bell, baby. In they go.
Yeah, you might be right about that, because I was like, man, she can't kill no one, bro. What is she going to do?
She's not the most physically fit person in the world. That is correct. She is definitely not.
Even if someone is drugged, bro, what is she going to do? Like, strangle him to death? Like, do you think that she has that in her, bro? I don't think so.
I've done some pretty weird shit when I've been drugged.
This is the blonde woman I keep seeing all over social media, right? The one that's like an animal rights person I keep seeing.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen it. We got all these questions about it. I still haven't seen it.
Jose, there's no fights to watch. You literally have nothing to do all week. You have nothing to do all week, Jose. What are you doing?
It's a trash show, dude. It is a trash show. No one is good in that show. I didn't leave happy at all. I was like, everyone that I just built a bunch of rapport with sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does actually feel like that. As it unravels, you're like, oh, well, I mean, within a 30 minutes, you're like, these are all horrific people.
Yeah, it ends the same. It ends the exact same.
I wanted to watch it, and then I kept seeing like the tigers in Florida, like in cars and stuff. I'm like, this is going to stress me out. Like, I feel so bad for these animals. I can't watch this right now.
Yeah. Everyone's bad in the show. Yeah. It's pretty trashy.
Maybe I'll watch it this weekend so we can talk about it, because we're just going to get more questions. Like last week, Corey Aaron Chalmers asked us, what are we going to, like, who would win in a fight between like this person, this person, and this person? I'm like, I don't know what any of this means. So PC, have at it. We're basically fantasy matchmaking a MMA card based on characters from the show. And I was like, this is all you guys. I don't know what any of this means.
I bet the sequel that they're doing the second series, I bet you it's a complete flop because we won't be in a pandemic by the time it comes out. Like, nobody's going to watch it. It's like, why the fuck did we watch that? You know?
The timing was very good for the release. I don't know. It felt like it was the right show at the right time.
Do you think Carol's behind that too?
Wait, Carol's behind the pandemic?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's it. Well, you're saying that, you know, Corey thinks that she drugged someone, so maybe she's good with, you know, the science. We don't know. You know, she's got a lab and, you know, making these viruses just to prop up her, you know, her reality show. She's probably a producer in the show. We don't know.
A serial killer version of Heisenberg, nearly.
Good God. Anyway. Casey, we got any more questions for Corey? Fight or not fight related?
A couple more fight ones. Let's get these out of the way.
Hashtag the A side from Sean Denny at Denny Ranks, longtime submitter. How would the current top? Ooh, this is an interesting question. How would the current top five 135ers have gone on in the WEC? So Cejudo, Moraes, Aljo, Jan, and Corey. Any dream matches you'd like to see / compete in? So you did mention the WEC, Corey. How does this top five of the UFC right now stack up to the top five of WEC past? Or are there any like matchups that might probably won't happen in 2020 or 2021 and beyond that you would like, that you would have liked to see between this top five and that top five?
Ooh, I don't know, man. That's a good one. The WEC guys are the OGs though, man. Like though, like even Faber, I remember when I was watching the WEC and like first getting into MMA and stuff, I remember being like, man, fighting Faber would be cool too. You know, like, yeah, I don't know. The top five. Who else was in the WEC? I remember
Mike Brown.
Cruz.
At 35?
Wait. At 35.
We'd have Brian Bowles, Eddie Wineland.
Demetrius.
Cruz was there.
Demetrius.
Scott Jorgensen was really big. Right? Yes. Scott Jorgensen and Eddie Wineland. I really liked those guys too. I was also a really huge fan of Cowboy. But yeah, I remember, I think specifically Eddie Wineland, I was like, damn, that guy's cool. Faber, I thought was super cool. Cruz, I thought was cool. And Scott Jorgensen, I remember, I think it was really, really cool.
Miguel Torres was the long reigning bantamweight champion, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before there was Dominic Cruz,
he was pound for pound in the world for a long time.
Yeah, he was the man. What did he fight? Did he fight at 135 when he was in the UFC?
Yeah, he fought 135. Yeah.
He had like 40 fights, right? By the time he came to the UFC, he was already like definitely on the back nine anyway. Like, I mean, back three maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like he had already been to the top of the world a few times, and then he came to the UFC, right? Like, I mean, he was a long-standing champion.
Yeah, he was the original Dominic Cruz in the sense that he kind of established the 135 division on a national level.
Man, yeah. I can remember with WEC, like, I mean, we didn't have it on TV over here. So by the time it came to it was on TV, like, we were aware of the fights, we'd be reading the articles about, say, Faber was the poster boy and stuff, and then Aldo burst into the scene and he was taking care of everyone. And I can remember they started showing them then. After all the guys got signed, they started playing them on European TV on Extreme, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be all staying up to watch them every night trying to catch up on all the fights that happened. It was a brilliant organization. I mean, Jesus Christ, like the flagship for all the lighterweight divisions. You got to remember that a few years before that, the UFC didn't want even the lightweight division there. And then they go and buy up this organization that's just lighterweight fighters at that time. Anyway, I know it did once have all the other weight divisions. Absolutely unbelievable. And the stars that come from it, like, I mean, they're still active in the divisions. It's a brilliant organization.
Yeah, Eddie Wineland's still in the UFC, so that's a fight that could actually happen.
Yeah, swing bombs, man.
Wasn't he scheduled one recently?
Eddie Wineland.
Oh, and so I don't know off the top of my head.
I think he did. I think you're right. I think he has been pretty active. I think he has been fighting.
I don't know that he's been fighting, or maybe he did have a fight. I know that he was scheduled to fight someone, but you know what those guys should do is they should create their own little WEC after in about 5 years when they're officially all retired, and then have like an old man's WEC. I would watch that.
Oh,
well, you like that idea? I remember Coker, they were saying that to Bellator for a long time. They're like, why don't you start a veterans Grand Prix or something? Because people are getting so annoyed about, say, the likes of Royce Gracie being at the top of the card when he's in his, you know, twilight years, essentially, as a competitor. Like, I mean, do you like the idea of a veterans pool fighting each other? It's a bit of a wild one.
I hate that idea. I hate it because it takes away from like publicity that us younger guys could have. You know,
do that audio.
That crystal behind you, bro. That crystal is getting in the way of the frequencies.
Okay, so gonna get
to
the
power. Be the power.
I was gonna. Whoa. We have a lot of listeners on this show specifically who are very much into crystals. I mean, we have
nice
a loyal listener, Jessica, who has sent us, who mailed us crystals.
The crystal queen.
She mailed us crystals. Show we had. See that salt lamp behind Pete? This is the story behind that salt lamp. He went to cover. Was it Cage Warriors or Bellator?
Bellator in Dublin.
Bellator in Dublin. And a fan snuck that into the arena and gave it to Pizzi solely because he watches this show. So we've asked a lot of fighters about their feelings on crystals. Brian Kelleher was on the show, and Jessica sent us crystals, and we gave a crystal to Brian Kelleher specifically because he asked for one. And 1 hour later, he gets bumped up to the main card of a Conor McGregor fight card and then wins a performance bonus. So I don't want to say it was, but it's 100% the crystals. So
proof.
What are your thoughts on baby crystals right now?
Jessica sent me some crystals too. I want to get bumped up. I want to level up too. I think the crystals, religion and spirituality and crystals and esoteric type stuff like that, I think I'm pretty interested in. The crystal stuff, I think that they are just... There you go. Nice, Pete. You feeling better now?
I feel like just nice.
All right, bro. Good. Take your hat off. See if it healed that haircut.
Wow.
It's still fucked up on the day.
I think that the crystals and stuff are, they're just good, triggers, right? So like, I think that if you tell yourself that this crystal means love, and when you carry it around, you remind yourself that you should be full of love, then cool, you know. But I don't think that the crystal itself has any meaning. I think that you could probably take, I don't know, like a paper clip in your pocket, and if you assign it the meaning of like you showing compassion to the people that are around you, then every time you feel that paper clip, that's going to be the case. So I think that that's kind of, more the psychological part of it, maybe. I don't know. I set little reminders on my phone.
So if I like, right, suddenly today, right, we'll call this Rock, we're going to call it Corey from now on. And I'm like, all right, every time I touch this crystal, my hair gets better. Will that make my hair better if I believe it into existence?
No.
Ooh, all right. Well, that's a good question.
No.
All right, yeah, okay, so that's a good question. Does like that part actually enter into like a
physical realm? Will it make it happen? Take it off.
Because we gave Brian Kelleher I gave him a random crystal. This was right after official weigh-in, so this is when
Tiger's Claudia, eye. It was not random, it was Tiger's eye. Okay,
it was not. No, first we thought it was pyrite, because I don't know if you've seen Jared Cannonier carries around pyrite around his neck too, and he has crystals in his pocket. I gave him a crystal what I thought was pyrite. This was right after official weigh-ins, and then later on we found out it was Tiger's eye. And we were reading the what each crystal does. Jessica sent us like a pamphlet of what each one is supposed to do. And it said it will bring like monetary fortune and luck. And that's why I'm saying like an hour later, he bumps up to the main card and then wins the $50,000 bonus. So I'm not saying it was the crystal, but it was 100% the crystal.
Basically a double blind test there is what we're trying to say. Like, we sent him in thinking he was going to get the healing power of pyrite. Turns out the Tiger's eye gave him wealth instead. So, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Once again, Corey, we're going to get you some crystals.
Well, give one to every fighter after they weigh in, and then we'll see if there's a performance bonus for each fighter on the card, and we'll see. You know,
it might put us. We need so Jessica, send us all of your tigers out because we're running low.
Empty the quarry.
Casey, we got any more?
Yeah, we sure we got a couple.
Now that we have this audio, someone in the comment section saying the audio is now crystal clear. Thanks for the best plan words.
Yeah. All right, what we got here? This is kind of a semi-serious question. Well, yeah, it is serious, but yeah.
Okay, from Trumbo on the site, fighters' health insurance question. For Corey, do UFC fighters only have health insurance for the UFC-related to fighting or booked fights? During a health crisis like this, this seems to loom large. Do most UFC fighters have their own health insurance plans? Is the UFC doing anything for fighters with regards to this current situation, if you are at liberty to say? So very interesting question, Corey. I don't
exciting
know if you
want to say. Like,
so yes, we went from talking crystals,
Do more famous fighters get more interesting questions than this? No, I'm just playing. I have my own health insurance because I don't want to get like a car accident and then or something weird happen and then me need that. But I have like the lowest of the low paying health insurance that someone can buy. But yeah, the UFC will take care of you really good after your fight and anything that happened in the fight. So they've done everything that I've ever needed for. I broke my thumb in one fight. I broke my nose in another fight. And they cover all of that. You don't have to pay for any of that. But no, if you were to get like terminally ill, then I think that would be on you. So that's why I have health insurance.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I'm just laughing. That was it's a pretty morbid. But you know, it's the health insurance question, the question itself, that was already making me chuckle because I could see you looking at it and going, well, look at his eyes lighting up to talk about this.
Oh yes. I got a question that's on the from the YouTube comments right now. Here we go. It's on this. Can you read that on the screen?
Oh, look at this.
From Oliver Ursell on the YouTube comments, with coronavirus damaging future UFC events for the next 2 months, would you rather wait for Habib versus Ferguson, guys? Champion gets top billing. Would you rather wait for Habib versus Ferguson for 5 months or wait for Cejudo versus Aldo? Personally, I would want Aldo versus Cejudo out of the way.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like I think that the UFC has a really cool opportunity with all of this. I think that they already canceled the NBA season, so they're probably going to cancel all of the other seasons in sports. So I think that what the UFC is probably, I mean, they have a really cool opportunity to be the only live sporting event on television because I don't think that they depend on. They depend on the whatever it's called when people come the doors. How much was the gate? There we go. Yeah, the gate. I don't know that they necessarily depend on that as much as the other sports, especially basketball, where they're having like two or three games every week. So I think that that's why they canceled that. Baseball is going to be in the same boat, and I think that football will probably take suit too. Who's going to want to watch football if there's no crowd? But I think that MMA is a little bit different. There's no home team. There's no away team. There's no real team that you like. You have favorite fighters, but it's not really team based. So I don't think that there's a huge necessity for an audience. So I think that probably for the rest of the year, or at least until I would actually probably estimate till the rest of the year, that the UFC is not going to have an audience, and they're going to be played on television, and they're probably going to be the only live sport on television, at least in the US. So I think that they have a really cool opportunity if they play it smart, but I mean, I would rather just wait 5 months to watch Khabib Ferguson fight. I think that they're going to go on with these fights. I think that they should probably wait until most of these shelter in places end though, until we can actually start training with training partners and not the girlfriends in our basements. So I think that when that kind of happens, then that will be the best decision from the UFC to wait probably till June or July so that guys can actually train and actually look good in the fights. You don't want a ton of guys gassing out and fights being more boring than sometimes they already are. So that would be my statement to the UFC is I would like to see that happen. And then for the rest of the year, the UFC is going to be the only live television show. So, I mean, that could really blow up MMA, I think, if they do it in the right way.
So you're telling us you don't care about Henry Cejudo and Jose Aldo?
not really, bro. Not really, because I still have a couple more fights, bro. I at least have one more fight. But like I said, I'm still going to be on weight. So if Aldo can't make it back into the States and Cejudo has no one else to fight, then I'll be there waiting for him if he wants to. I don't know that he would take that fight, though.
Would it be weird fighting in an empty arena for you?
Probably, yeah. I really like the lights. I really like hearing what people are saying. I think it'd be weird. But I don't know. I guess I haven't thought about it too much. I think that there would probably be some different types of psychological things that you could maybe do where, like, the judges could maybe hear the punches land a little louder. The judges would probably be able to hear our corners a little bit more. We have our corners kind of coach the judges a little bit, coach the referees a little bit. So, I mean, I guess it could be beneficial. But yeah, that would be weird. It would be like, I don't know. Do you think anyone would even cheer in there? Do you think that like Dana White, Sean Shelby, and Mick cage side would even make any noise?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that video, but Mick Maynard for the UFC Brazilian card was doing like the woo chants and the stand 'em up chants, and he was like, "I'm filling in for all the fans." So he was doing all of the chants solely by himself, Octagon style. Yeah.
All right, right on. Well, I guess as long as Nick wasn't biased against me, then like, yeah, I'd be down to that.
Well, it was
the crowd at all, Corey? Like, I mean, do you know when you're very creative when you're fighting? Like, I mean, is it methodical for you? As in, like, this is gonna be the way I'm gonna go about my business anyway? Or do you feed off the crowd? As in, because sometimes you're getting very loose in there, right? Like, I mean, you can see it. Is that you feeding off the crowd, or is that you just enjoying your dominance in the fight?
I try to just do whatever I want, you know, as much as the other person will let me, I try to do what I want. So until, you know, and that's like what the looseness is it's like, I've had a lot of fights where I fought really timid. And I was really unhappy with myself afterwards, whether I won or lost. So to me, it's like, all right, well, why are you doing this? And it's because I want fighting to look really cool and I want fighting to look really efficient. And I want it to be mine. So if I'm going to go out and fight kind of like a bitch, you know, like what fun is there in that? You know, like, cool. Like if I get hit good, then cool. If it knocks me out, okay, maybe I'll change something. But, you know, but it's kind of,
it's not relying on the crowd though.
No, it's me. It's honestly, man, like the only thing I really care about is me and my performance. You know, am I happy with it? Am I doing what I think martial arts can look like? And I kind of got lucky in having that point of view. And, because I do want martial arts to look cool. I don't want it to look like I'm taking someone down, holding them, and then just like squeaking out wins. I don't want that. I want martial arts to look cool. And, that's what I try to make it look like.
Do you like watching yourself back when you like replay your fights? We had Anthony Smith on the show, and he said every time he watches his fights, he thinks he sucks at fighting. even when he knocked out Shogun, he goes, "I'm terrible at fighting." Like, do you have that same mindset?
No, dude, I'm my favorite fighter.
Yes.
I'm my favorite fighter, bro. I work too hard to not be my favorite fighter. You know,
yeah, like I'd love to watch myself back if I was Corey. That would be amazing. Yeah, I'd have a party.
that I don't think that I'm the greatest in the world. Like, I think that I still make a handful of mistakes, but I go out there and I take a lot of pride in me being able to do what I want in there because I've worked so hard and I know that I can get myself out of whatever trouble I find myself in. And I like to watch that against another person. And I like to watch like, oh, look, I knew more than this guy or I must be doing things really right in order for me to be able to do that to this guy, you know? So, I was being a little sarcastic on me being my favorite fighter, but I do really like watching my fights.
That's a good answer. Well, we got Casey's notified me that we're going to do rapid fire for the last few questions. So, Casey, what do we got?
Hold on. All right, here we go. Let's keep it kind of quick.
Wait, we're going to restrict ourselves to like 5 seconds, yeah?
All right, from Godzilla Hard Drivinson on Twitter. In theory, if the average life expectancy goes up significantly in the next 100,000 years, how old would the oldest MMA professional be then? Older than Ken Shamrock?
73. Next question.
I don't even know what this question means.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys sent me these questions.
Goes up significant. I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. Pass.
From Jones Eats Cormier, D&D champs. Greetings, A, B, and C sides. Thanks for keeping the content up. So what D&D classes would the current UFC champs be and why? The people want to know. P.S. Esther is the best. So, yeah, shout out to Esther Lynn, behind the scenes photographer extraordinaire. So, Corey, I don't know if you're a big fan of Dungeons & Dragons, but
So I'm not. I know nothing about it.
I don't even know what it is.
You don't know what Dungeons & Dragons is, Pete?
No.
Man, well,
next question. Yes is the answer. Next question.
All right.
Well, all be fighters. I know that. Because that is a class of Dungeons and Dragons, by the way, fightings.
Yeah. Okay, and our final question is, where'd it go? Here we go. Final question for Corey.
Ooh, I've been doing a good job with these rounds before. No?
There you go.
Jose. Someone says, Jose, ask Corey who he thinks is the all-time UFC GOAT.
Ooh, George, bro. GSP. He's a goat.
Definitely.
So do you have a top five in the UFC or just MMA in general?
Of all time or of,
in the annals of time.
Ooh. Aldo's up there. GSP's up there. Khabib's definitely up there now. DJ's up there for sure.
Absolutely. Is Fedor in?
A lot of lower weight classes in your top five ever.
Yeah. Well, I've always watched sports just to learn from sports. I don't really watch sports a ton for entertainment. It's always been so I can learn something. That's why I used to watch basketball, is not because I liked any team. It was just because I wanted to get better. But last one, I don't have not an MMA fighter, but a boxer that I really like watching is Pernell Whitaker.
Yes.
Keep me up there in my top five.
So no John Jones in your top five?
Nah, man. To me, no.
Well, I was going to ask, right? I was going to ask because there's no Anderson. There's no John Jones. And these are all guys who have popped. Is that word or not on the list?
I think that there's to me, this is more than a sport. It's more than just being good at something. I think that if it doesn't transcend into real life, then what's the point? So not to say that there may be living wrong, but I think the guys that I listed are for sure
martial
living artists.
Artists,
you know, they're artists in the cage, but also outside. So,
what about a fighter else? Like a lot of people argue over who the greatest heavyweight is a lot. I think the kind of the default answer is either Fedor or Kane, and now Stipe and DC are up there. So where do you classify someone like Fedor? Never fought in the UFC, but a lot of people hold him in high regard.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Fedor, yeah, he's up there, man. But to be honest, man, I don't really enjoy watching a ton of heavyweight fights. I just don't.
Oh,
feel
shade.
Like
that's shade. Like, that is shade.
I mean, your last fight was headlined by the heavyweight champion of the world.
That is shade, but I don't know, man. I like watching to learn.
Hey, that ain't shade. That's truth.
Write it up, guys. Write it up. Corey Sandhagen hates UFC heavyweight.
Either the heavyweight fights are either the best fight in the card or the worst fight.
Yeah.
Especially when
I sometimes wonder if I'm like, man, would I rather be a heavyweight than a light guy? But then I think that the amount, like if I get hit, if I get hit good, I might get knocked out. But for the heavyweights, if you get hit good, you are getting knocked out. So like for me, it's like, do I want to walk into a fight knowing that? That would suck, man. You know, so they have their challenges too.
Imagine all the pizza though, Corey.
Oh, that's true too, bro. That's true too.
So pizza getting knocked out. That's where that's the balance of life right there. What about
Saturday night in Ireland, man?
What about a fighter like Israel Adesanya right now? Do you think he's kind of on the cusp of being in this great, this all-time great conversation, or is he still a few wins away? He is undefeated. He is the champion. He's racking up these wins, but maybe not there yet.
Yeah, it's too soon. It's too soon to tell. I really like his. Yeah, me and he came out to Colorado and trained for a couple of weeks, so we got to get to know each other just a little bit. But I think he's a good guy. I think that for me, like, for you to be one of the greatest of all times, you got to be one of the greatest for a really long time. He's only been the champ for maybe a year or two. I don't know if it'll last for another 5 years. If it does, then yeah, he's definitely in that conversation.
Well, we're running up on time. So, Corey, as per usual, on this show, the guest of honor gets to say, plug, talk about anything they want. Doesn't have to be fight related. So the floor is yours, Corey.
Yeah, no, I don't have too much, man. Just listen to my podcast, okay? Punchlines podcast. It's on all of the podcast apps and stuff. So I'm not the greatest salesman, but I think it's a pretty decent podcast. I'm getting better at interviewing people. I know that I'm not the greatest at it yet, but I'd appreciate it if you'd give it a chance.
Get that man some crystals.
What's your question for the media guys? Yeah, if you're Mr. Interview.
Yeah.
You got any questions? You want to flip the script?
Why is your hair so shit, Pete?
Yeah. So all right. So well, I guess yeah. Let's ask two. One more general. One a little bit more. For myself, but I guess the one for myself is this room does that sometimes, bro. I just moved into this house, bro. It's the crystals, dude. I need some crystals. Oh shit,
it's a haunted house right now. Dear God.
Here, let me go out here.
Back to the 90s. Transnation is back.
They're on a rave.
Yeah, so what is it? Forgot. So I'm fairly good at listening to people. I feel like I can do that pretty good, but I have a lot of issues coming up with the next question. What are you guys like consciously thinking about the next question, or how does that work?
So when I do media days, at the beginning when I first started, I would write a lot of the things I wanted to talk about down, and I found myself sticking to that script where rather than listening to what the fighter is saying. So they could be saying something super interesting that I should have fed off of and continued with that. But in my mind, I'm like, I got to get this question in. So like I was talking, like, for example, I was interviewing Gegard Mousasi, and he was like, yeah, I might drop down the welterweight. And when I replayed, I was like, wait a minute. That didn't even register in my mind. He wants to fight Lima at welterweight for the Bellator championship. But in my mind, I wanted to get this next question, and I completely missed that. So I would say, listen to what they're saying and maybe have a bullet point in your head, but you don't have to stick to it. That's just me personally.
Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly what I do. I'll have, like, say for you today, Corey, I'd say the one question I think, you know, cause you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for everyone that's consuming the stuff. So everyone that sees you on today knows that we had the Dominic Cruz article yesterday. They want some clarity on that. That was the only question I was like, oh, we need to get Corey to comment on that. And then afterwards, shoot the shit. In fact, usually shoot the shit a bit first, so they're cool with you. They can have a bit of fun. You get a bit of momentum going, and then hit them with the question that people want. And then after that, just go back to shooting shit.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say those two guys said, have your maybe just two or three topics you want to hit, but really the most important part is to listen, because once you get kind of caught up in like I got to ask these six questions, they're gonna say something like, they've never said on camera before, and you just blow right by it because you're so occupied with next question is in your head. So it's just takes practice and just a lot of listening. Yep.
You can see you guys getting sick of it when you ask a generic question like, how did you get into the sport, Corey? You're just like, oh, fuck's sake, here we go. It's just like straight away to like, oh, for fuck's sake, why do I have to answer this shit question again?
Hope that helps.
that actually does help. What was I about to ask? This always happens to me, man.
That's the worst when you get hit with that block and you're like, you're gonna ask a question and just everything goes. Like you're like, I don't even know this guy's name. Like for some reason.
uh So what's the most efficient way of, like, do you guys think that social media is the biggest way to get everything out there? Or do you guys think that, what are you guys looking for to put out onto social media? Because, if that is even the biggest way, or is it like, it can't just be word of mouth, or is it like advertising? Is it like paying for posts? What do you guys think is like the most efficient way to get the most kind of publicity on the podcast?
We're lucky, like the fact that we're with MMA Fighting, right? Because they have all this huge social media following straight away. So you're going to get a certain amount of traction straight off the bat. But if it's not good, they're just not going to come back, and you're going to get absolutely annihilated for it. So it's like social media definitely has been, for the spread of our podcast, definitely with a huge following like MMA Fighting has, you know, it's a huge factor. I don't like social media. I actually hate it. Like I don't like it, but you need to. These people actually like kind of, you know, they're supporting your career by tuning in and listening to your product. So like, you know, you do have to, you know, interact with them to a certain degree, because that's where your fan base is, or your listeners, your following are all there, and they're the people that who are supporting your career. So I feel like you gotta stay up to date. Like if there's something happening, they expect you to be talking about it. So that's all I do. I try to stay away from that. Other than that, I just put up pictures of my dog.
Yeah, word.
Yeah, I view social media as like the step in the door, and then it just, the quality if the quality's on point, they'll stick around. I mean, that's how Joe Rogan blew up. Like, he at first it was like, hey, listen to my podcast, and then you listen to one episode and people got hooked. So yeah. I just view social media as the first step in.
It's a good sounding board too, like, because if the people that listen to you will tell you if it's shit 1 week, you know, it'd be like, that wasn't great, I didn't like that. I didn't like that interview. You know, they'll tell you that. Like, I mean, you just, if the people who are listening to it every week are seeing problems, like, I mean, that's good intel, right? Like, that's something you're like, it's constructive criticism. I think some people fly off the handle. I do it an awful lot myself. So,
it's also how I figure out when the audio is, like, when I used to run board, I'd be like, the audio was bad last week. So then that's how I know when to fix it.
Yeah.
Criticism is tricky. You really have to look for good faith criticism, because, I mean, I go through all the comments while we're doing the show, and like 90% are just ridiculous. But then
dumpster fire.
Yeah, so it's really trying to, it's getting a good filter for, you know, criticism of good faith behind it. But
yeah, cool.
I just want to throw this one. Our final question, and then we'll go off the air. Right here, guys. Here we go.
Nicholas and Jeremy, what's your max bench?
Oh.
What happened?
Damn, that's fucked up.
I know, that's
fucked up. I know why you're asking that too. That's fucked up.
Boy, why is she asking that? Tell us.
Because I'm skinny, bro. I got no pecs, dude. I got no muscles. That's why.
Well, mine's 7, Nicole. So,
7. I have. I can't remember the last time I bench pressed.
I don't know when the last time I bench pressed, but I don't know. It's probably around like 500,
yeah,
500,
600, 700.
Yeah,
that was reps, right?
Just one rep. Yeah, one rep of probably around like, 600 probably.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, before we go, also Corey, Jose Shorty Torres wanted to say hello. He was on the show last week. Said you guys.
That's shade. Write it up. Oh my God!
And last episode, Pete was trying to get book a fight between who is it, Manel Cape and Shorty Torres, simply because Shorty didn't recognize the name, and
it was PZ so the fight. There was shade. Oh, the whole place descended into darkness. There was so much shade.
Well, Jose wants to say hello, but for PZ, that's Casey. That was Corey. Corey, you were great. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Awesome. Sweet.
We have a lot of time coming up. We can recap. We'll have more questions. Jessica, send Corey some crystals too. You can be officially part of Team Crystal. But for Jose, that's Pete. That's Casey. We'll be back Monday. Thanks so much, Corey. We're out.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys. That was fun.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.